W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The Secret Service often sees everything a president does. Now the special counsel wants to know what they saw at former President Trump's home in Florida. Source telling ABC News they've subpoenaed Mr. Trump's agents to discuss how he handled classified documents taken from the White House. Donald Trump is in New York City for tomorrow's arraignment. Nashville students and teachers walked out of class today. They marched on the Tennessee State Capitol demanding tougher gun laws. Vanessa Shore is with Students Demand Action.
When we come together as a community and we stand up for what we believe in, I think we can do a lot.
Republican Tennessee Governor Bill Lee wants to add more armed school resource officers and guards. President Biden today promoting his renewable energy tax credit bill and expanding Fridley, Minnesota's Cummins Electric Car Parts Factory.
All these investments mean that now if you grow up in Minnesota or you go to a school in Minnesota, you can stay in Minnesota.
This is ABC News. A Virginia medical examiner has ruled that a black man in police custody's death was a crime.
Ivo Otieno had been taken into custody after a neighbor reported he was having a mental health crisis. First to a mental health hospital, he was arrested there after 3 days in jail, transferred to Virginia's Central State Hospital, where video footage shows deputies and hospital staff piling on top of the 28-year-old, holding him down for more than 10 minutes. His death ruled a homicide. In a statement, Otieno family attorneys Ben Crump and Mark Cruddy saying there is a chilling parallel to George Floyd's killing. Dave Packer, ABC News.
NCAA men's basketball championship about to start in Houston.
On paper, UConn is a lock to win its fifth championship, having never lost on this stage before. But San Diego State has dominant defense that could spoil the Huskies' record. And throughout the course of the March Madness tournament, underdogs have somehow found a way to come out on top. Jim Ryan, ABC News at NRG Stadium in Houston.
Andy Field, ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Arguments in a lawsuit that will determine if abortion remains illegal in Wisconsin start next month at a Dane County Circuit Court. Oral arguments in the suit filed nearly a year ago by Democratic AG Josh Call and Governor Tony Evers began on May 4th, exactly 1 month after tomorrow's state Supreme Court election. While the case could be resolved before the new justice is seated this summer, it's more likely to come before the court when either Janet Protasiewicz or Dan Kelly take the seat of retiring Justice Pat Rogensack. The court, currently controlled by conservatives, 4-3. The Freedom From Religion Foundation asking the IRS to investigate St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Cottage Grove after the pastor posted a bulletin urging parishioners not to vote for, quote, her, unquote, in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. The foundation says that's blatant electioneering. Tax-exempt churches and charities have been banned from engaging in political activity since 1954. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
The spring election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country, with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote. Then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special As Goes Wisconsin.
Then at 8, News Director Terry Bell has results with reporters checking in from around the state.
Election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class. Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to, lots to talk about. Sure, everyone, well, not everyone, a lot of people didn't see Marjorie Taylor Greene's 60 Minutes interview. I'm struggling to call it an interview. I'm looking for the right word because, well, it was bad. Leslie Stahl, what were you thinking? But America didn't tune in. And I guess that's a positive. That sends a good message, I think. The popular... 60 Minutes on Sunday nights usually, gets a good size audience. Evidently, the viewership with MTG there, 33% less than the week before, second lowest ratings this season. And I guess this is what happens when you put a fascist on. Now, there was part of me that said, if she does have this fan base or this loyal crowd that everyone believes she has, the numbers should have been through the roof, because she's kind of positioning herself to be the heir apparent when Trump goes down. And, it's one of these moments where you go, I don't know what Leslie Stahl was thinking. It was one of those things where you go, Leslie, why? Why would you do this? These people have no shame. There's no shame here. They're going to lie. Lie. And she did. And look, you knew it was going to come out of MTG's mouth. You know it was going to come out of Marjorie Three Names' mouth. You knew. Evidently, Leslie didn't. And this is one of those things where you go, what were you thinking? Now, I think Leslie Stahl went in to that interview with the misguided belief that Marjorie Three Names has a conscience, that she's going to fess up for the things she said, that she's going to take responsibility for the things she said. No, it's all attack. And there was a point at which, Leslie Stahl actually brought that up. You're like Trump and then you attack. That's all they do. And it's the reason. And again, I've been saying this for years. It's the reason Democrats lose so always. Because they're thinking about governing. They're thinking about, hey, how can we make policy that's going to make people's lives better? And that doesn't translate to a good attack line. That doesn't translate into good interviews or rhetoric. It just doesn't. And the right has been built on this kind of anger, this kind of grievance that sells. Look, she even, Marjorie Three Names even said, look, my father ran a construction company. I spent a lot of time in the car. We listened to right-wing crazy radio. We listened to the grievance. We listened to the outrage candy. She is literally the birth child of that kind of insanity. She grew up being saturated, which is why she's so out on the fringe and why she understands really understands her constituents really very well. And I'm not talking about the people who live in her district as much as the people who follow her like a blind faith religious icon. When Leslie Stahl tried to corner her on things, she blamed everybody else. You said this on social media. Well, that was probably one of our SaaS staffers. A lot of people are on our social media team. And she let it go. You know, she even brought up the fact that, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene made her name coming out as being the first openly vocal kook, if you will. First QAnon supporter, wholeheartedly all on board, all of the attacks, everyone's a pedophile, there's a secret cabal of all this stuff going on. And she, you know, she let it go with, well, you know, I apologized. And she didn't, you know, pursue this, which for me it would have been, so let me ask you, you know, so if you have apologized, do you believe what the Q people have been saying? And if you don't, why is your rhetoric identical? Yeah. I mean, there was so much there that she could have gotten into, so much there that could have been front and center, but it wasn't. Now, there were a couple of things that came up. The one, for instance, Leslie Stahl asked her about, you know, using the word pedophile. Most of us know what a pedophile is. To Republicans, that's just a slur. That's just something you call anyone who doesn't agree with you. You throw in pedophile, you throw in groomer. That's every Democrat. So, because I've had it thrown at me a number of times, because I don't think people like Marjorie Three Names and Glenn Youngkin and Republican legislatures across the country should have the ability to tell parents what they do with their children in the moment that they need something. I don't think I want zealots in between parents, the doctors, and the people who are going to take care of their children. I'm uncomfortable. And that's something true, honest, real conservatives used to agree on. And this is why I come back to this. Marjorie Three Names and that whole clan, they are not conservative. I know they love to say they are. They're not. Or maybe they're neo-conservatives. They're the new conservatives, which is basically fascists. Off on the fringe. There's free speech for everyone except people we don't agree with. The Second Amendment is good for everyone except for people we don't agree with. It's interesting to watch the rhetoric. But Leslie Stahl asked about this using of the words pedophile and groomer. And how, you know, they regularly call Democrats this. Now, what's interesting, this is the interesting part. If you follow the news at all, most of the actual pedophiles come out of these zealot churches and you know, the Republican side of the aisle. Now, it's not only them, there are people, but it seems a lot of these people who are up on the pulpit there pointing their finger down at everyone else, they seem to be the ones. Gotta watch out for the kids. But anyway, she goes and she says, you know, why is this that you're gonna call, you know, Democrats, you know, pedophiles and groomers? And she said, well, you know, Democrats support, even Joe Biden, the president himself, supports children being sexualized and having transgender surgeries. Sexualizing children is what pedophiles do. And Leslie Stahl goes, wow, okay. But my question really is, and I'm going, wait a second, your question really is something else? And she goes, can't you fight for what you believe in without all the name calling, without personal attacks? And you go, whoa, you missed an enormous part of that statement, which is that anyone who disagrees with her is a pedophile or a groomer. Now, they've taken all of the gender-affirming care, which I don't understand all of it, but I know it's not all surgeries. I know it's not all that stuff, which, you know, even I have a problem with as for kids. But she's lumped all of that into the groomer pedophile world. And Leslie Stahl did not push back. In fact, what we got is, wow, okay. But my question really is, do you know what a pedophile is, and why do you surround yourself with people who've done these things? But again, I look at what 60 Minutes did. and I'm frustrated with it. They're normalizing this kind of crazy behavior. By giving this person a platform, they are normalizing this kind of insanity with the both sides-ism. Oh, can't we just get along? Do you have to use this inflammatory rhetoric? Yes, because that's what riles the base. That's the outrage candy that gets them, you know, going to the polls, donating money, attacking Democrats. This is how we can't get anything done. And look, this is not just her. There's a lot of moneyed interests who are doing as much as they can do to normalize the kind of insanity that is ripping us apart. And no talk of unity, except by, very interesting, and this is one of these bizarre kind of things that makes me go, huh, there's a new group. They're not new, but they've been around for a while. But they got $70 million, evidently. No labels. They want to have an effort to get, you know, no labels candidates on the presidential circuit, a Democrat and a Republican. So we're gonna have a mixed thing. And I said, wow, it sounds great. Like a lot of neo-conservative nonsense. Sounds okay on paper. Believe in freedom. I believe in liberty and free speech. Until you try and use any of those things. And in their world, if you don't agree in lockstep with them, you're completely ostracized. Well, the no labels people, it sounds great. Sounds great. No labels. We're gonna find common sense until you start coming down to what that means. What that means is we're gonna do all the things that Republicans have been wanting to do for years and just calling it bipartisanship. All the things that Democrats have agreed with Republicans on, you know, like ending welfare as we know it, only to find out it's made things worse. Loosening control of media so that a handful of companies can now control virtually everything we see, hear, and read. It's made things worse. Ultimately, all of these schemes comes back to you and me. It comes back to us. Finding that common ground. Talking to each other once again. And as long as we're being pushed around by the Marjorie Three Name crowd, by all of the Trump show that's coming, I don't know that we're going to get there, which is why I keep saying I don't think Trump's going to see a day in jail. I want him to be the Republican nominee, and I hope he is defeated soundly at the ballot box. It's the only way this country moves forward. But I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Going to take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So a special shout out to our newest affiliate, KTRC, in Santa Fe, New Mexico, listening on AM 1260 and FM 103.7. Looking forward to a long, happy, prosperous future in Santa Fe. Want to hear your thoughts. Also, you can email me too, rick@therickSmithShow.com. And thanks to the good folks there at KTRC for bringing us on board. Looking forward to that. Let's go to the phone lines. Got Alice on line one. Alice, how are we doing?
Totally insane as usual.
you know, it's in the air. Well, I've got a couple of things to say. Number one, I didn't watch stupid Marjorie Taylor twit face.
I had to.
I did not. Of course, I've heard enough about it and read the cliff notes, I suppose you want to call it that. But I'm really disgusted that the mainstream media is taking these whack jobs, and let's face it, they're whack jobs, and giving them a platform to spread their lies and hate and propaganda.
Yep.
And like you, if you start going down through all the headlines, it's an evangelical minister, it's a Republican, whatever, whatnot. I mean, last year, I could, without even Googling it, come up with six of them right off the bat. And personal note aside, over the weekend, no, actually, it was on Friday, someone hacked into my Facebook account. And what really made it weird was it was a combination of factors. They could not break into my password, but for some reason, my internet provider, who my email is through, it got hacked into, which caused my email to be open, apparently, for anybody. So they used that to get the account recovery and all this. Well, they couldn't change my password on that or anything else, because to do that, you have to know the personal info and call into the internet provider.
Right.
But they left all the receipts. So anyways, long the short of it was, I got my account back, and lo and behold, who did it? Some whack job Republican evangelical minister in Florida and his little sidekick, because they left all the receipts on my email.
Because they need money.
Crazy. Yeah, and that's what they were doing.
Sure.
They had set up a political ad to boots, opened up a campaign, an ad campaign thing on my account, which, again, left the receipts. So I had to contact Facebook and tell them, I didn't do this. You just gave me back my thing. I uploaded my ID to prove I was me, because I don't care. I'm not losing my Facebook account to some idiots. And they're still trying to get in. So I'm like,
there's big money to be made in this. I've had a couple of friends who've gotten hacked. I mean, if the thing is if you're dumb enough to give them money, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. But
I know.
If for any of my friends out there, if you get an email from me going, hey, I need money, no, that's not me. That simple. But I appreciate the thoughts, Alice.
Have a good one, Rick.
Thanks so much. I look, at the end of this, there's so much scamming going on out there. It's ridiculous. And some of it coming, you know, right from the grand old party. The fact that, did you see Trump doing the whole spiel? You know, I don't need your money. He put out a video saying, you know, I don't need money. He says it's very simple. They can't buy me and they can't control me. And that scares them beyond belief. And then proceeds to ask them for money. I don't need your money, but send it anyway. Quite remarkable. Now, what we know is, over the first 24 hours after his indictment, he raised $4 million. The 24 hours after that, he raised another million. He raised $5 million because of the indictment. And look, you know, this is going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Now, I know that the Trump base, they're all on board. You saw in Florida, they were waving flags on the side of the road as he was going to go to New York. And there's going to be a big, I guess, to-do Tuesday night in Florida. Okay. You find that the most recent poll, by the most recent morning consult poll, has Trump got 55% of the Republican primary voters. That's an increase of 3% from just last week. He's 29 points over Ron DeSantis. It's looking like, at this point, unless the evidence is shown and is out in front, could be our guy. Now, what we know is he's going to be charged with 34 felony counts, not going to be handcuffed or photographed. And I don't know whether that's a smart thing or a dumb thing to not have the mugshot. I said from the beginning, if he was going to be mugshot, he was going to Tom delay it up with a big cheesy smile or some thumbs up stuff. I expected that. No, they're not going to be a mugshot. Now, I have a lot of people who are sending me mock-ups of mugshots. which are very interesting. But he's not going to wear the orange jumpsuit. None of that's going to happen. He's going to be in. He's going to be out. He's going to get back on the plane and go back to Florida. And then what they're going to do is they're going to do what they're saying they're going to do. This is going to be Trump. He's already vowed to escalate the attacks on Alvin Bragg. They're going to spend time after time, day after day, attacking the Manhattan district attorney. They're going to attack the case. They're going to go after this as aggressively as they can. And I'm okay with that. I said, you know, look, you keep talking. There's talk that the judge may put a gag order on him. If I'm Alvin Bragg, if I'm the prosecutor, I'm saying, if you put a gag order on him, I'm going to fight the gag order because I want him talking. I want him out there, you know, spewing nonsense. I want him saying the things that he wants to say. And I want him to be angry doing it. Because we know he's going to rile the base. We know he's going to call for more violence. We know there's already that kind of push. Even though the police in New York and the folks who pay attention to this stuff say that the chatter that we heard before January 6th, and I remember talking about going, look, I don't know how many bodies are going to be stacked up on the streets, but the chatter is lots of violence before January 6th. None of that right now. Now, that could be the chilling effect of, well, they're prepared for us this time, and New York actually does know how to take care of mass crowds. Could be all of that. Or it could be that just, you know, very few people give a damn. And, you know, the reality is the polling out on this, 60% of Americans approve of the indictment, as we know now. That's not knowing what the 34 felony counts are going to be. Now, the weird thing is, at least for me, I look at this and, you know, I remember back in 2015 talking about all of the irregularities that he'd been accused of for years. There's nothing new here. This is who Trump has always been. The only thing that's different is somebody actually took it to a grand jury. So this is going to be interesting to see how this plays out. 34 felonies. And I want him talking. I want him talking on this case. Now, what we're also finding out is on the classified documents case. And I said from the beginning, I think the people who turned him in were the Secret Service. I thought it was the people who were surrounding him who happened to go, wait a second, that's not right. We can't have that. What we're finding out now is, well, there are a number of federal agents, number of Secret Service agents who are set to testify in the classified documents investigation. That's interesting. And according to Brett Baer, the guy over at Fox News, it's multiple agents, not just one whistleblower. It's multiple agents. So everyone, you know, worried about Jack Smith not going fast enough. I'm pretty thrilled Jack Smith is on this. I think it's the right thing to do. And I think, you know, that's the case. I think he should really get in trouble for. But here's the thing. Again, back to, I want him to keep talking. If you remember the interview he did with Hannity a week ago or so, Hannity's trying to steer him away from what he was saying, which was, you know, that he has the right. He has the right to do whatever he wants. Hannity said, I've known you for decades. I can't imagine you ever saying, bring me some of the boxes that we brought back from the White House. I'd like to look at them. Did you ever do that? Which is a dumb question. Anybody whose job is to ask questions should know the answer. And Trump answered, I would have the right to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Yes. Yes, there is. But Hannity goes, but I know you, and I don't think you would do it. Still trying to reel him back into safe waters. But no, he wasn't going there. He says he'd have the right to do it. He would do it. And it's just one of those things where he's going to double down. At some point, they're going to spin the hush money because it's already happening. The fake news people are saying, no, this wasn't about election. This was hush money being, because I know people who believe there was no hush money. I know people who believe it's all made up. Trump did nothing. No, Fox isn't even saying that. Fox is saying the hush money was paid to save the embarrassment for Melania so that his wife wouldn't find out, which, you know, makes sense, but also so voters wouldn't find out. You know, you can do both. And when your lawyers are going to jail and your accountants are going to jail, I got to tell you, you might be next. He's never going to spend a day in jail, but he might. It's going to be interesting. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1937. That was the day over 1,000 auto workers at the Ford Assembly Plant in Kansas City, Missouri, began their occupation. The sit-down was the first strike by the UAW against Ford. UAW President Homer Martin vowed to organize the entire company. The strike had been called the previous evening when workers learned 350 of their co-workers had been laid off at the end of the day's shift. They demanded reinstatement, higher wages, better working conditions, and recognition of their union. The workers spent a good part of the early morning hours welding the gates shut to the railroad yards and parking lots surrounding the plant. Then they selected an 18-man committee to direct the strike. One leader, O.W. Penny, stated, quote, "When the company forced the strike on us by unfairly laying off men because of their union membership, some with 12 years on the job, everybody joined up with us. We signed 200 outside the plant, and they're signing others inside." Penny added, "The pay here is not as good as at either Chevrolet or Chrysler plants. The boys there have better sanitary facilities and a cafeteria, while we have to eat our lunches sitting on the floor." Strikers lowered a banner from the top floor of the plant that read, "Lincoln freed the slaves, Ford brought them back." Ford insisted he would never allow his plants to be organized, but company representatives spent the weekend negotiating a settlement with the UAW to rescind the layoffs. By Monday, April 5th, the workers were back on the line. Strike authorizations would flare up just 2 weeks later when Penny and another UAW organizer were beaten at the hands of company thugs. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2.
With new outrages erupting every day, I find some comfort in knowing that we the people have at least eliminated certain particularly ugly plutocratic abuses. Child labor, for example. Well, outlawed, yes. Stopped, no. Recent reports reveal that thousands of children ages 12 to 17 are toiling illegally at dangerous jobs in manufacturing, construction, food processing, etc. To be clear, there's nothing wrong with teenagers working. They might need to help their families, gain experience, or just earn a few bucks. And other butchering machines. In a typical 13-year-old was badly burned by the caustic cleaning during long night shifts, which ran from 11 p.m. to at least 5 a.m. Once caught, top executives of Packers Sanitation tried to sanitize their reputation by proclaiming that they have, quote, zero tolerance for any violation of child labor laws. Oh, ask that 13-year-old. Yet, our worker protection laws are so weak that Packers' multiple violations resulted in a fine of $1.5 million. That's not even peanuts for this nationwide giant, which is owned by Blackstone, a Wall Street huckster whose executives pretend they know nothing about the children they endanger for profit. This is Jim Hightower saying, how about we make a few of the children and grandchildren of Blackstone profiteers work some midnight shifts cleaning meat-cutting machinery? I'm guessing they would stop the abuse overnight.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So evidently, Twitter has not removed all of the blue check marks yet, except for the New York Times. Evidently, got around to doing them. But I woke up today and I go, well, let's see if they removed mine. And I've never put any real you know, effort behind having the coveted blue mark. But I went and they changed the language. As the day before, it said, this is a legacy account and all this stuff. Now it's either or. So no one knows who's paying yet. And as I've said, I am not paying Elon Musk a dime, not a single dime ever. And to me, it's interesting that they've chosen this route. So we'll see where it goes, because there's part of me that goes, look, we're going to be the people who are paying are going to pay for the folks who aren't. But it's going to look like a lot of people are paying. It's all in the display. But if you remember last week, we talked about this open source algorithm. And again, I'm not a computer guy, but it seemed interesting to me why Elon and Twitter would go, oh, we're going to make everything transparent. And my thought went, I don't know. There are a lot of smart people out there who could do a lot of mischief. And that's why I've asked Craig Johnson to come talk with us. Craig is the president and managing partner of Unfiltered Media. They've got a Substack page, unfilteredmedia.substack.com. We'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at that. They've got a new piece out on just this, the effects of open sourcing your algorithm. Craig, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
So this open source thing, look, I'm not a computer guy. I don't know much about it. I know the algorithm is terrible and it's going to get worse because my feed is full of nothing but crazy people who I don't follow and I can't stand. But what is this going to do? I mean, for those of us, and again, dumb this down for us at the bottom here who don't quite understand how this all works. What's this going to mean?
Sure. So basically what happened on March 31st, Twitter open sourced their algorithm. Basically, it is the black box that decides who gets to see your content. And by doing so, roughly, they've given all of the social media professionals, such as myself and the left, the right, anti-union, pro-union activists, the blueprint to basically manipulate what America sees online, regardless of whether or not they're popular or not. Open sourcing this basically algorithm is going to open up the floodgates even more. Because while we had hints before on what to do, we didn't know for sure. But now we know for sure because they told us.
That there's this kind of group sourcing, but that's not what goes on behind the machine.
What goes on behind the machine are a bunch of coordinated groups who get on a call, multiple meetings every week, and they essentially agree to do a set of actions that they know will artificially spread their message to as many people as possible, trying to dominate the story. Every single day you can look at the Twitter trending hashtag list, and you could basically, if you're in the business, pick out which ones were definitely astroturfed or not.
And, again, I come back to this because, people go to social media and they think that this is, like the temperature of the country and the temperature of voters, when the reality is a good number of these folks are bots. A good number of it is, as you said, these farming operations that operate in a way to try and influence how these algorithms work. Is what Musk is doing, is this going to make things, he says it's, this transparency is going to open things up and make it better. Do you see that happening, or as I do you think it's going to get worse?
I agree with you. I think it's going to get worse because, the one thing keeping professionals like me back was the opaqueness, the black boxness. We couldn't really know what the rules were. But now that we really know the rules, all of that kind of grass tops, astroturfing, fake kind of motivating of a narrative online is just going to get more efficient, more effective, because we know exactly what the rules are. And I think a lot of people underestimate the kind of carry-on effect from this as well, because if Twitter's designed this way, this algorithm is designed this way, you can bet that the other social media platforms are also designed a similar way, mainly because the developers are sharing similar technology. If you look at the kind of basis of the Twitter algorithm, it actually comes from the Google search algorithm. It's based off of this idea that you can generally trust the trustworthiness of a tweet based off of those people who are associated with it. So Google works by like in very simple terms, essentially how good the links to a web page are from other web pages determines its ranking. And so if you know one, you start to know everybody. So this is going to apply to Facebook. This applies to TikTok. This applies to Instagram. And it comes with the same pluses and minuses. Like Twitter, for example, one of the interesting things about knowing their algorithm was that they're blocking Ukraine content. They're basically censoring any kind, pro and anti. There is no dissemination or discrimination between either one. It's just a tag in there. You can see it in the code.
I thought this was about free speech. I thought Elon said this was about free speech, and this was opening up free speech to everyone.
Yeah, Elon's a hypocrite, and I never believed it. Never believed billionaires, in my opinion.
No, you never trust a billionaire. But you know the thing is because I've had a bunch of people go, well, this is going to open it up and make speech freer, and I'm going, no, it's not free. I got to pay $8 or $9 to get the little blue check mark that I'm never paying for, never a dime to Elon Musk. But right from the start, he's saying, yeah, if you pay me this monthly fee, your comments will get to the top of the article. You'll get more push. That doesn't sound free to me.
It's not, and it's in the code. You can see exactly the effect that paying has, and it's ridiculous because all I see it is diminishing people of color, unionists, organizers' voices, because you're essentially just always going to be competing with more moneyed, well-resourced, well-organized people creating brass tops, not real narrative pushing efforts.
Now, again, I think a lot of people think the internet is like the Wild West. And there's part of me that goes, I don't know that it would be bad if it were the Wild West. This sounds like it's the Wild West with a giant army on one side and the kid with a slingshot on the other.
It's like Standard Oil. It's like back in the 19th century when like it was the Wild Wild West, but there's Standard Oil who's just putting their thumb on the scale. And it's not actually wild at all. It's just Elon Musk's playground now.
Much better analogy. That's why you're the expert on this. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're with Craig Johnson. Craig is the president and managing partner over at Unfiltered Media. You can check out their Substack page, unfilteredmedia.substack.com. We'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at that if you can see it. Because, again, not paying the $8. But you said something here that's been on my mind for a while, because there's talk of banning TikTok, which I'm against the idea of banning TikTok if you're going to leave all the other ones. Because I think they're all just as bad in my view. Is that somewhere in the ballpark, or does TikTok rise to a significantly higher level because of the Chinese Communist government?
Well, I'm 100% with you. I do think that there is a defining characteristic that it is. ByteDance is a Chinese state-owned company, and they certainly are stealing our data, but they're stealing our data in so many other facets of our life, which sort of like makes that special, oh, but it's Chinese owned, kind of a hollow critique, because we're all using Chinese sourced parts. Every single iPhone has a Chinese sourced processor in it that could be stealing our data, or likely is stealing our data. And so, no, I mean, we have a fundamental problem with social media, and that it is horrific for us. 1 in 4 young women have considered suicide because of social media, and it's rotting our society at the core. So I think any critique that can be leveled against TikTok and its desire to ban it can be leveled against the other ones. And it's always this double-edged sword, because never at this time has people of color, communities of color, been able to get around the publishing monopoly of white-owned businesses before. But also at the same time, you're also seeing it as such a distortion of reality that we're losing touch and cohesiveness as a society because of it.
No, there's something wrong here. But the reason I bring up the TikTok thing is because the way the Chinese Communist government does it, I guess, in China, and again, now I haven't been there, this is what I'm told, is they've used the algorithm in a different way, for younger people, for educational stuff, for STEM education, for stuff that I go, that's not bad. As where they're poisoning our children's mind with idiotic cat videos and worse, all these moronic challenges that we see. I think it's, again, it's how you use it as well. And we've completely allowed this to not be regulated. And this idea of the Wild West, but to use your analogy, with Standard Oil on one side.
Exactly. It's a completely different product in China, and it's a much better product. It's a more cohesive product, a more useful product, and they are absolutely intentionally doing it, poisoning our minds.
Is there any way legislatively, and because I know we love to misinterpret the First Amendment. We've got free speech rights. Yes, between you and your government, you have absolute free speech rights, but you don't have free speech rights between you and me or individuals. And is there any way to undo what we've done? Any way to put this genie back in the bottle? Any way to legislate this in a way that isn't being used against we the people?
Yeah, there are a bunch of ways, and I would really encourage. I work with a group called the Tech Oversight Project, which has a bunch of ideas about this in particular. But my particular idea is you actually do a modified Section 230. So, like the Section 230 for everybody is just essentially what excuses online platforms from being liable for the content they produce. So, the white supremacist manifesto that causes the deaths of some people, they're not liable for it. And Section 230 is what protects them. If we were to modify this and actually hold them accountable to moderate the content that is available for people to see on the public sphere, I absolutely do think that that option is there, and people are looking at smart legislation that accomplishes that goal, where you get the good parts of the innovation of the Section 230 allowed, which is allowing internet platforms like YouTube and Facebook and the benefits that they bring to exist, but also holding them accountable for the fact that their algorithms are essentially Nazi creation machines.
No, and you said that, and I absolutely agree because looking at my feed. Because everything that they've created a Twitter, the things that they want me to see, and they keep pushing me to what they want me to see, which is exactly the most heated rhetoric, the biggest doses of outrage candy, and people being the worst versions of themselves, and it only goes down from there. So for me, if there's a way to, to moderate some of that, I'm not talking about limiting what people can say, just, I don't know, be a better version of yourself. Is there a way to get to that, or is this just one of those things where you go, "No, it's a pipe dream. The genie's out of the bottle. We need a civil war to solve all this."
Well, I think I don't think so. I think there is a way to do it. Mainly because as someone whose dad worked at Intel and was on the internet since the early 90s, way before 56K modems existed, for all those people who remember those, it used to be way worse. It used to actually be way worse than this back on the early web, where the N-word was way more common.
Yeah, but it was much more limited. I mean, you only had a handful of people who were involved. We're talking in this country, everyone's attached to the internet in one
Oh,
way or
sure.
another.
Sure. In that regard, yes. But that still gives me hope to see that there has been at least some modicum of progress in the social standards that we accept online, that we can get further. And I do think that eventually, because anti-big tech sentiment is generally bipartisan, that we can get somewhere with that. I do actually think that it's a relatively bipartisan issue that could be and is going to be legislated on the next few years.
That is the hope. And what can people do? I mean, look, we try and moderate what our kids see, but good luck on that. With the access that everyone has and the ease of access, as a parent, it's difficult to to moderate and to see what they're paying attention to, because they're smart enough to delete their history. Any advice for parents? Any advice for folks who are trying to? Because look, I'm expecting the next couple of weeks, especially because I use Twitter a lot. I am expecting it to get much uglier than it's already been, as this algorithm takes on and keeps feeding this kind of outrage. So I'm trying to get to a point where people don't lose their minds and things don't get much worse. Does that make sense?
Yeah. If I had my recommendation for parents at this point, is what my parents did to me, and is for every hour of screen time that I got, I had to practice my musical instrument. I played tuba at the time for the same amount of time. So it didn't limit my access, but made me do something in the real life for an equal amount of time that essentially grounded me to something that wasn't online, wasn't completely devoted to that screen. And I thought that that was, in retrospect, really, really wise of them.
That's not a bad idea. Good stuff. Craig, I appreciate you taking a little time for us. I hope you'll come back and
Thank
share some
you.
more. This is not going to go away. So I'd love to have you come back and talk to us again.
No problem. Thank you.
Good stuff. Craig Johnson, he is the president and founder of unfilteredmedia.substack.com, the website. We'll get links out on social media. I can take a look at that. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1968. That was the night that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave his now famous I've Been to the Mountaintop speech at the Mason Temple in Memphis, Tennessee. He was speaking in support of striking sanitation workers who were members of AFSCME Local 1733. During his speech, he said, "Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't really matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountaintop, and I've looked over, and I've been to the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we, as a people, will get to the promised land." The next day, Dr. King was murdered by an assassin's bullet at the Lorraine Motel. In 2015, AFSCME President Lee Saunders wrote about the importance of remembering Dr. King's legacy to today's labor movement. Let's honor Dr. King by taking a page out of his playbook. Let's give workers the power to reshape our struggling economy and improve the lives of all Americans by negotiating better wages and benefits. Yes, unions are still the answer, the path to the middle class.
You're listening to the Rick Smith. King people come to talk.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. So McDonald's. Evidently, McDonald's has closed down a couple of days. This is the most recent report coming out by the AP. They've closed down some of their U.S. offices because, well, evidently they're preparing to lay off a bunch of people. And this is one of those things where I allowed myself to go read the comments. And when the headquarters of McDonald's shuts down, you know, globally for a couple of days because there's going to be a bunch of layoffs, because understand, McDonald's employs like 150,000 people across the globe. 70% of those are based outside of the U.S. So they're closing down, going to decide which way they're going to go. And it was one of these things where I started thinking about, who are we talking about? So I'm reading through the comments section, and the comments are like, yeah, that's all these fast food workers demanding, you know, $15 an hour. It's all these fast food workers who want health care. It's all these greedy fast food workers who don't. And you go, wait a second, this isn't how this works. Understand, the people who closed down are not the people who were giving you your bag of fries out the window. These are not the people flipping the burgers or doing any of the jobs that you come in contact with. Globally, these are all of the people who work in the corporate offices, the salespeople, the people who are designing stuff. These are the upper echelon of McDonald's jobs. These are the ones who people actually work for McDonald's Corporation. The vast majority of the McDonald's that you and I go to are owned by people locally who franchise those from the big behemoth. And then they are the ones who hire and fire and abuse and do all the things that they have done over the years. But I found it interesting that when you looked at the comments, the comments all were, it's the workers' fault. Across the board, there were no comments that I could find, and I read probably about 100 of them. There was none that said, you know, could this be AI? Could this be the technology coming online and they're doing away with, you know, departments and bringing, you know, automated technology on board? Because, and this is the part that blew my mind, that wasn't even mentioned in the comments of doing away with the people who work in the stores that you go to. There are already fully automated stores. There are already places where you go and you push the buttons and it comes out like a vending machine. That wasn't even brought up here. And the reason I bring this up is, you know, I was just listening to a guy the other day who was talking about, you know, when technology comes fully on board, you know, we're in a major chaotic moment. And this is why I keep saying, look at all the nonsense they're throwing at us. All of the divisive stuff about, you know, about who identifies as what, or who goes to what bathroom, or who loves who, or who marries who, or any of this stuff that really, on the grand scheme of things, in your personal life, unless you are in that community, doesn't mean anything to you. That's to keep you from thinking about what's coming. And our government has done nothing, literally nothing, to prepare this country or the globe for that, or any government really, for what is coming, the onslaught of job losses that are coming because of AI. They were saying between 40 and 50% of the work that we do right now, me right here sitting in this chair, could be done by an AI talk show host. Now, there's a bunch of reasons why they claim that's not going to happen right away, but down the road, they're already using for research. Because evidently the chat GPS thing does a much better job of researching than most of us do. The technology of the future is going to be devastating. And this is where, again, nobody politically is talking about this because we're still worried about Marjorie Three Names and we're still worried about Donald Trump and his crimes. I want to talk about what the future of work looks like in this country. How are people going to put food on their table? How are they going to make sure that we survive as a society? And again, I'm looking through these comments, which I don't do often, because a lot of it just devolves into people being the worst versions of themselves. But this one caught my attention because of where they place the blame. Almost no blame at the top. There are a handful of spattering of comments of people, greedy CEOs, bet you they're not going to take a pay cut. And you go, of course not. They're not going to. But I find it interesting how we working people all tend to blame ourselves when these things happen. Immediately, it's because the workers demanded too much. And it's the same thing we heard when deindustrialization really took grip of this country. You know, the Reagan years forward, as we were just sending manufacturing out of this country in incredible rates. It's the union's fault. You've heard that a lot. The unions, they asked for too much. They asked for health care. They asked for retirement security. They asked for some security in their job. They asked for some say in where they spend more than a third of their lives. They wanted to take a vacation. They wanted a day off. It's too much to ask for. And we've internalized this. We as a working class have kind of bought into it. I can't tell you how many working people I've run into. Well, you know, maybe we did ask for too much. No, you can't compete with the Chinese workers who are making pennies an hour with deplorable working conditions, lax environmental rules, and a Chinese communist government who's giving huge amounts of money away. You were never going to be able to compete with that. Never. And I love the rhetoric, American workers can compete with anybody. No, they can't. Not when you're talking about 100 to 1. And we have to have policies and policymakers who understand that. We need to have people who are going to step forward and say, you know what? No. I look at the Tucker Carlson clip that someone sent me a couple of weeks ago of him saying, I wouldn't let any automated trucks on the road. Well, stop it dead in its tracks. And why? Because that's the number one job for high school educated males. If you take that away, you're just chaos. And at some point, we as a country have to start going, you know what, we need to rein in this technology a little bit. And I'm not saying crush the machines, I'm not a Luddite, but either we're going to figure out how we socialize the benefits And we know that's never going to happen. Or we got to slow down the machine a little bit. But I do want to hear your thoughts. Email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Questions, comments, by all means, I want to hear it. If you miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. And again, a shout out to our friends at KTRC in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.